There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Who am I to judge that they should be illegal? Who is the government to judge that they should be illegal? And for me, that's the reason to support this bill.
That's Mike Madigan, Speaker of the Illinois House, talking yesterday about a same-sex marriage bill that passed the Illinois House. It passed by one vote. It needed 60 votes to pass, and it did. And that means it goes to the desk of Governor Pat Quinn, who says he will sign it. It's only been in the hopper for 6 months, and that may be a record for the passage of same-sex marriage in a state. Joining us to talk about same-sex marriage in Illinois, David Smith, Executive Director of the Illinois Family Institute. David, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd. Thanks for having me.
We had been hearing a lot, and in our case, from some guests who had testified in the Illinois committee meetings on this thing, that it was going to have a harder time, and I think some might have been surprised that it happened as quickly as it did. How do you read yesterday's vote?
Well actually, they thought back in February they were going to fast-track this, but the fact that we survived to November is a testimony to the fact that this bill is not as popular as it should be. I mean, Todd, think about this. There's 71 Democrats in the House of Representatives. They only needed 60 votes to pass it. Plus, they had two weak-kneed Republicans, turned out yesterday three, that was willing to support it. They should have been able to pass this back in February. The fact that it took them until November to be able to do this is just, again, just points to the fact that this wasn't as popular as many people in the mainstream media want us to believe it is. And the fact that Michael Madigan, the Speaker of the House, had to twist arms to get enough votes, again, shows that even in a democratically controlled with a supermajority, it really wasn't as popular as they thought it was going to be.
Mike Madigan called it several things, but one of them was the right thing to do. That's what he was trying to convince his fellow House members to do, the right thing to do. How do you react to that characterization?
Well, just going back to the clip that you played of Michael Madigan saying what he said about legalizing, you know, it's almost as if gay people don't have the right to live and have relationships with people with whomever they want, whatever consenting adult. They have that freedom. So to pretend like they're being some kind castigated or banned their relationships, that's ridiculous. What we're telling people in trying to stop this bill is you don't have the right to come to the public square, in this case the state capitol, and try to redefine an institution created by God well before the establishment of Illinois, that you don't have the moral authority to do that.
He also, oddly enough, quoted Pope Francis.
Yes, he did.
Saying, well, the Pope has said if someone is gay and searches for the Lord and has goodwill, who am I to judge? And Madigan says, well, that's just my viewpoint. Who am I to judge? Who am I to say that it should be illegal? Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know what, this whole who are you to judge and the state can't pass morality, the state does it all the time. Whether they put up a speed limit sign, you know, our speed limit is going up in Illinois on the expressways from 65 to 70, they're judging that going over 70 miles an hour is wrong. That's a judgment. That's a moral cause, a moral judgment. You know, they do it all the time. So what they're doing here, by the way, Todd, is not only saying now it is right, so they're judging, they're making a judgment saying it is right for man and man to get together and woman get together. And what they're going to do in the process of doing this, which they don't see, is they're going to force people of faith to be outlawed. You know, you can't discriminate, as we saw in Iowa. I don't know if you know about this case. In Iowa, a Mennonite couple own a old church building, which they've turned into a art gallery slash wedding chapel, And they're being sued because they said no to a homosexual marriage. So they're going to be forcing us into the, you know, the category of outlawed.
Well, that raises a question. Does this bill, does anything in this bill passed yesterday by the Illinois House, does it protect religious freedom?
It does not for the individuals, not for the lay people. It has minor protections for church buildings and the pastors and priests of buildings, of the congregations. It does not protect individual Christians, especially those you think about in the wedding related businesses, you know, florists, bakers, photographers, you know, banquet hall owners, that kind of thing. It does not have any protections whatsoever for us. So this will foster religious bigotry in Illinois.
Is there any way of legally challenging this law, even after it passes under the pen of Pat Quinn?
You know, we're going to talk to some attorneys, but I doubt it. I mean, the only real recourse we have, well, there's a couple, is to elect enough good people to the General Assembly to rescind the law, again, elections coming up next year is to boot some of these guys out of office. And I hope Illinois does that. I hope the citizens of Illinois take that to heart when they go to the voting polls in March and November of next year.
In that vein, Madigan also said that he doesn't think anyone who voted for this bill should be worried about the upcoming elections. And I'll quote him. I want your reaction. He says, "I think the country and society is at this point where not only is this accepted, it's expected. I feel a significant majority of the country feels that this is where the country ought to move."
Well, the reason that he feels that way is because he's surrounded by Democrats and their liberal allies in the media. Academia is pushing this. So, yes, there's a lot of people, the elites, pushing this issue, but when you go to the common people here in Illinois, no, it is not as popular. In fact, just a few years ago, we tried to get a question on the ballot on this very thing. Should Illinois pass a state constitutional amendment defining marriage as one man, one woman? And Michael Madigan kicked us off the ballot. He, you know, we needed to get 283,000 signatures. We got 347,000. He came after us, so we couldn't get on the ballot, because he knows, as well as his Democratic allies, is that, look, we get on the ballot, they're going to have a real poll, and they're going to have feedback from the people, not from the media.
One of the less told stories in the course of the last 6 months is that a number of African-American clergy and some
Yes.
African-American members of the General Assembly had serious misgivings. Tell us that story.
Well, it's been wonderful working with the Body of Christ, especially in the Chicagoland area. You know, again, this issue crossed all political lines, racial lines, and it woke up the church. And the African-American Clergy Coalition in Chicago got together and worked alongside us in the Catholic Conference of Illinois to stop this bill, trying to stop this bill. And we were successful through the spring in doing so. They spoke up loud and they warned their state lawmakers, look, if you vote for this thing, we're going to have people run against you, and we're going to support them.
How would you respond to a clergy person, a pastor, who says, well, look, good, we can get out of the marriage business and we won't be a servant of the state. This is our occasion to get out of the business of marrying people. What are your thoughts there?
Well, you know, there's a purpose for government being in the marriage business because it recognizes and encourages and promotes the ideal environment to raise the next generation of children. You know, social science data, common sense, all tell us that children do best in a home with a mother and a father, ideally the mother, the biological mother and father. And that is where we want to promote, as a society, the institution of marriage. So there is, you know, for the well-being of the future, healthy and productive members of society, we want to encourage that. We don't want to be backing away from that.
Representative Ken Duncan attempted in the course of the debate to draw a line between restrictions that had been previously put on African Americans and restrictions that he said this bill would lift from same-sex couples. What's your reaction?
Well, you know, Representative Mary Flowers had a better reaction, but, you know, she was a black Democratic woman, got up and spoke to that. But my reaction is that, look, you can't compare the two. Race is 100% heritable, in all cases immutable, and has no inherent connection to subjective feelings, desires, or volitional acts. Now, homosexuality is not 100% heritable. It's many times fluid. In other words, I've got good friends who are ex-gay, and is constituted centrally by subjective feelings, sexual desire, and volitional sexual acts.
So, bottom line, what's the difference there? What are you saying?
Well, one is changeable, and you're born with. The other one is subjective feelings and something that you're not born with. You can't change being black. You can't change your race and ethnicity. You can change your sexual behavior.
So finally, what do you expect to happen next? Is this simply going to get to the governor's desk and that be the end of the story, yet another state legalizing same-sex marriage?
Yes. Unfortunately, Governor Quinn has been a cheerleader of this bill throughout the year. There's no reason to suspect or expect that he will change his mind in the last few days here.
David Smith is executive director of the Illinois Family Institute. We'll post a link to the Illinois Family Institute under the Listen on Demand at our website, issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. David, thank you very much and keep up the good work.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time doing a little sermon review here on Issues, Etc. We often do sermon reviews, good, bad, ugly. I don't know what category initially to put the one we're going to be reviewing in. I have a suspicion, but I'm not for sure. We're going to be listening to an All Saints Day sermon preached by someone you might have read about in the Washington Post or seen on social media, Nadia Bowles Weber of House of All Sinners and Saints Church in Denver, Colorado, has a best-selling book called Patrick's. It's a female version of Pastor. And she preached this sermon. We're going to listen to her. We're going to listen for all the things we normally listen for in our sermon diagnostic. And then we'll review her theology with Chris Rosebro of Fighting for the Faith.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.
Talk radio for the Christian worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Saints at Gethsemane Evangelical Lutheran Church in downtown Marion, Ohio, invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, which He won for us in His perfect life, death, and resurrection. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:15 a.m. with a divine service following at 10:30. Visit our website, gethsemane-lcms.org, or find us on Facebook to learn more about our confessional, historical, and liturgical congregation.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.